The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
Now, the Department of Education is urging Leaving Certificate students to register online for predicted grades by Thursday night. Calculated grades are to be used instead of the sit-down exam this year in order to keep social distancing guidelines, which they believe would not have been possible running the regular Leaving Cert. But there will, of course, be an alternative if you don't like what emerges from your predicted grades. But meanwhile, teachers have been advised to destroy any documentation relating to students' grades and keep only the final forms submitted to the Department of Education. Now, to talk about this, along with changing your mind on your CAO options, author of Education Matters and education columnist Brian Mooney is on the line. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Okay, let's talk about the overnight story, if you like. Yeah. Teachers will destroy the evidence.
Well, it's actually in the original document, but what it actually says in the document is that the Form A and B and the paperwork involved in teachers, you know, working together to ensure that what goes to the principal's office is according to the system as devised by the department, that that documentation should be destroyed. There are those people speculating that that will also be extended to teachers destroying all of the records that they might have had to come to those decisions. But that's not actually in the documentation. It doesn't actually state, it states that, you know, if you're filling out a form that is part of the process to actually get to the decision where the percentage marks arrive on the principal's office, that that documentation should be destroyed. I can understand that because there's, you know, information in relation to how to do that securely, how to use that documentation securely. Mm. But actually going and saying,
Brian, will you clarify
what the last 2 years.
What would be destroyed? I mean, obviously the final form where the teacher outlines the grade that they're recommending, which goes to the teacher group and then to the principal and then from the principal to the department, and then the department employ their algorithm and so on.
The ancillary documentation around that, they're saying that.
But for example, would it, if practical work was being looked at, you know, a project or something, that or homework or whatever, would all that be destroyed, thrown on the bonfire?
Well, if that's not in the documentation, but what I think what the story overnight is that it has been interpreted by some that effectively all documentation should be destroyed. So that, for instance, if there was a case taken against a particular grade or if there was a legal challenge, that it could then be stated, well, I've destroyed everything. You know what I'm saying? Now, I mean, to me, that would be unfair because effectively, you know, that is not covered. It's not explicitly stated in the documentation that the department released last Friday in terms of...
But I'm reading this news report and it says, the department says this is because the scope of any appeal to a student's grade will not encompass reopening or challenging the professional judgments of teachers or the school. In other words, you can't go back. You know, the teacher says, I believe that Brian Mooney is an A student or a D student or an F student, and that's the end of it, I'm afraid.
That's basically, I suspect that what we've got here is a system that is designed to be unchallengeable, and obviously you had to have buy-in from the profession to actually get this job done. And, you know, even though the document itself only talks about the destruction of the, you know, the forms that you're actually involved in at the moment, it doesn't actually say that you must retain the student records in case there is a legal challenge and in case somebody goes to a court. And, you know, because it doesn't say you can't, it's now been interpreted by some to say that that's what's going to happen and that, as you say, you can't challenge beyond the point of the actual mechanics of the process to make sure that the calculations have been done correctly.
Yeah. This reminds me of, and I can't remember the detail, but I do remember the principle of a couple of journalists, I think they were in the Irish Times, and the document from which they built a news story when the powers that be went looking for it. It's destroyed. Because this might have led to the leaker or whoever it was, and therefore the journalist took the precaution of destroying it. But this is not about that kind of thing. This is about a student's right to due process.
It is about a student's right to due process. And effectively, the department's attitude and the union, teacher union's attitude seems to be that if a student has a problem, that they can sit the exam at a later date, but that there is not going to be any recourse to, you know, I did six essays, can I have a look at those six essays to see that's not going to be available under this appeals process. Because you may have teachers, you know, when the group of teachers in Irish or English or maths are working together, there may be teachers who have kept copious records, and there may be other teachers whose teaching style didn't involve, you know, much assessment work or much homework or whatever. And obviously those people, if you could challenge them as to why did you give a particular percentage if you can't provide written evidence now, is it just your own personal judgment on the student that you're giving them a 72 as opposed to a 74? This is very sensitive stuff, you know. So I think the perception that, you know, we're not going to go there, we're not going to ask a judge to have a look at somebody's homework or having a look at somebody's six essays to see whether they should or should not equate to a particular grade.
Okay, and the fact that there is an alternative exam available to people.
There is an alternative exam available, which said, well, okay, sit the exam then and then prove it, rather than going back. I mean, how in a course situation could you actually have an assessment of the quality of work or the presence or otherwise of written work, etc.? You know, where would the expertise be presented, you know, in such a scenario? I think it would be utterly unmanageable. And as I said, you know, having the option of taking the exam seems to be the far better one in that scenario, rather than having somebody externally trying to assess the quality
Brian,
of their homework.
There are other people saying, look, that exam, you know, and whenever it might be, November, it means you missed the boat for college this year.
Absolutely.
There are others. I heard Colm O'Rourke on Gavin Riley's show on Sunday saying, look, I could run an exam in August. With social distancing, the numbers would be smaller anyway, we anticipate.
Yes.
We could certainly turn it round for this year's academic year. Why won't they try that? I mean, if they have to defer it, they have to defer it. But why not have ambition to actually try to make this year's academic year?
Well, the original idea, as you know, Pat, was to actually run the exam starting towards the end of July in the month of August. And that was found, because of all the social distancing regulations, etc., not to be viable. And the decision was made to go with this system. And all the energy is going into this, and the whole system.
Okay, but
is
Brian, hang on a second.
Turned on
just
its head. I'm not supporting it. I'm simply saying what's happening.
But if on Thursday night, 10 o'clock, when the register closes for predictive grades and they realise, okay, there's very few people going for the other thing, and even if we have a fraction of people who will be appealing, we can run it. I mean, would it be unfair to the students to suddenly say, we're going to have an exam in August if you want one?
I don't know whether it would be unfair, but I suspect, you know, because remember, Pat, students who are going into the system you've just described are also going to have the option of, and the document is quite clear about this, they have the option, once they see the outcomes of this, of also sitting the Leaving Cert. So you'd end up having to run the whole system twice, and because you would have revealed the content of a paper in August, as you were suggesting, you then have to have alternate papers for the second group who are unhappy with the outcome of the system that you've now designed, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, obviously that's still up in the air. We've had a few U-turns already in the education, on the education front. Now, the deadline for Thursday at 10 o'clock, it seems very short. They open Tuesday, close Thursday. Is that reasonable? It's all done online, I know, but there may be people who, you know, need the cyber cafe to do this business.
Yes. I don't think there's a problem in relation to the time involved, but there will be a problem in that I can absolutely guarantee you that by the time we get to Thursday night at 10 p.m., there will be a cohort of students, possibly the most alienated, the most disadvantaged, maybe also people, you know, who have disabilities or whatever, who may not have registered. And effectively, they are now in the situation that if they want to get any documentation or outcome from their Leaving Cert going forward in life, they're going to have to sit the exam when it becomes available in December. So by virtue of the fact of putting a system in place that says you must do this, and not only must you give us your name, your email address, your mobile telephone number. I smiled when I saw it and said, you know, if you told me 10 years ago that every child in the Leaving Cert was deemed to have had a mobile phone and an email address as an essential, which they do, along with
and
their
PPS number as well, yeah.
And their exam
so they're
number,
looking for a lot of info.
Which may confuse with their CAO number, by the way. Be absolutely clear about this. We're talking about the examination number you were given in your school, not your CAO number that you have on your phone, which the CAO sent you, because, you know, some people may inadvertently think that's the number that's required. But as well as that, Pat, you have to tick the box at the end saying you buy into this system. It's not enough to just simply give them that four piece of information. You literally have to say, I am buying into this system. I accept this system is how I am going to get my grades out of this process. Now, there will be people who will probably be the most alienated, who won't have done that by Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Now, schools will probably do their damnedest to contact those people to ensure that, you know, everybody does register. But it is ultimately a choice for each person to do that online. And the question then arises, you know, what do we now do with these people? You know, because ultimately the only way they're ever going to end up with a Leaving Cert qualification now is if they do this alternate exam in December or whenever it's going to be sat. And these people may, when we see on Friday who they are, we may feel, well, hang on a second. Yeah. You know, these are the people who are probably most marginalised in society. Yeah. So we're probably going to have
anyway,
another debating point.
There may have to be an extension depending on the rate of response if it's not deemed to be satisfactory and so on and so forth.
Sure
now, the only good thing, I suppose, is that people...
allow schools to know by Thursday afternoon who has yet to sign up or whatever, you know. So
hopefully
people can
that would be the case.
I don't know.
Yeah, at least we've got one certainty, I suppose, that there's nobody away. We're all locked in to the country.
In.
So
exactly.
Yeah, they're not in America. They're not doing whatever. The question of your CAO choice, change of mind and all that, Brian, you believe that people should be thinking a bit more broadly about their options going forward? I mean, do you really want to sit at home with a computer doing a university course, which we'll talk about with someone else later on in the program? But do you really want to, is that your idea of what a university should be? Maybe you should think more roundly about the whole thing.
What I'm saying is, you know, that when you're looking at the choices, I mean, people are saying our points going to go up or down, whatever, this year. I've seen a document which has been referred to by the HEA. You know, you and I have talked in the last few weeks about, you know, additional places being created to enable universities to be able to replace the international students. There is a document which I have seen in the last 24 hours from the HEA in which it explicitly states that the funding will not be provided to the universities to do that, to protect the institutes of technology from losing students to the university. I think that's ironic because effectively the institutes of technology, by offering vacant places in August every year, take an awful lot of students who might have been planning to go to further education colleges. You know, but it, because of that statement that the HEA are not going to allow students who might have, say, got into an institute of technology in previous years to be offered a place by university to replace the international students, we're not going to have a reduction in points because of that specific reason. Now, let's look at medicine. That's an alternative. There are no medical courses or medicine courses in institutes of technology, so I don't see why they couldn't offer extra medical places to replace the quite substantial number of international undergraduate medical students. But the point that you raised specifically, I think that a good cohort of students will look at the option that is now being made available to them, which is effectively doing what, with college in first year, what you've been doing with your Leaving Cert for the last 3 months, which is effectively looking at your lectures online and possibly going to college one day a week or maybe a little bit more, so that colleges can put in place social distancing regulations to enable them to open in the autumn. Now, there may be students who may say, you know what, that's not the type of college I want to experience. I want the more broadly well-rounded college experience that will enable me to be involved in clubs and societies and be away from home and learn to cope on my own two feet. And if they so decide, that's going to blow, you know, the estimate of where points may fall completely out of the water. So that factor is going to be at play when students are sitting down over the next 4 weeks and looking at the mechanics of the CAO final decision process, what courses 1, 2, 3, and 4, or whether I'm going to proceed with this. Now, obviously, they won't know what course they're offered until we get to August and they can make the decision then. But there may be an awful lot of young people saying, I'll wait to go to college for a year. Now, of course, the problem with that is if they wait and then you have all of next year's students applying at the same time, points could rocket. And there may be also a point that if people step back this year, points could drop substantially if students step back from the process of an online university degree program, and points could come down somewhat, and students might get into a course they would really like to get into that they won't get into next year. So it's all to play for. But what I'm saying is, effectively, looking at last year's points may not be a good guide as to where points are going to land this year because of all those variables.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. Fascinating stuff. Lots of points to ponder for our leaving certers and indeed their parents. But Brian Mooney, education columnist and author of Education Matters, thank you very much.